the City World Radio Network. High-definition digital radio broadcasting from the city to the world. www.cityworldradio.com.
Everybody, welcome to the Frankie Stick Show live in New York City. Every Wednesday I do the show from 8 to 9. I want to encourage people to listen to the other shows on the network. This is a lot of good stuff. That's at City World Radio, cityworldradio.com. If you want to talk to us tonight, is the phone working?
Yes.
Okay, because I heard it wasn't. 212-631-7553. 212-631-7553, and you can talk to my very special guest, Danielle.
Oh, Gasparelli. Wow.
And me, or Preston, whoever you want to talk to. I don't care. Anyway.
The guy in the lobby is
you know,
really nice.
I forgot the dates. Jill Hennessy, my friend Jill, has got a show going on in the city. Can you look her up? Look her website.
Okay.
And we'll announce the time.
Jill Hennessy, the actress?
Yeah, the actress.
You actually know the actress? Oh, she was on Crossing Jordan, if I'm not...
Crossing Jordan.
Yeah,
she was on... And her latest thing was Secretary. Madam Secretary.
Madam Secretary, okay.
Yeah. And was also on the Dick Wolf series. Yeah. You know, the Law and Order stuff.
Oh, Law and Order, yeah.
Yeah, she comes in the restaurant with her family. We have a great time. I know her husband. I know the kids. She's a great lady. She's been a friend for a long time. And I want to promote her stuff. All anyway, right. I'm at Arturo's 5 nights a week. That's on Houston and Sullivan, 106 West Houston. And you can catch me there. And then I do the show on Wednesday here. And then I'm also do... the vocal workshop for Marion Cowling on Sunday. That's at 1 o'clock if you want to come down and join the workshop. And it's from 1 to 3, 3:30 roughly. So that's about it. Everything. Oh, and I have a sponsor called The Proper Puss. This is a woman I met who is, I know, don't go crazy. She does waxing and stuff like that. And she's on... The place is on Bedford. I don't know the number, but it's between Houston and Carmine Street. So, there you go. That's it. No more advertisement. Now we'll get to my special guest, who I've been putting off for 2 weeks because of constricting dates that I've had. Anyway, so she's here tonight. Say hi, Danielle.
Hello, and welcome.
Oh, I like the voice. That's good. I can listen to you. I'll just shut up. You keep talking. And we'll get along just great. Danielle's a songwriter, performer. She's got a show coming up. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about all the other stuff she's been doing. But we're going to do a slight interview of her past, so people get to know who she is.
Should I lay down on the couch with a box of tissues?
No, but
Barbara Walters style,
not
right?
Not in that way.
Barbara Walter, Baba Wawa. anyway, she's here tonight, and she is from. Where are you from, Dan?
Well, near Poughkeepsie, actually.
Poughkeepsie, New York.
It's a man far away.
I grew
away.
Up in Marlboro.
Yeah, we talked about that, right? Across the river. Yeah.
Yeah, we had Poughkeepsie and then Highland Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some great places to go when I was a kid up there. Nick Benny's was a restaurant and live music. And then I played in a top 40 band from Newburgh, and we played in Middletown, New York.
Is that band still together?
No. Matter of fact, a very fine, wonderful friend of mine and guitar player died about a year ago. What a great guy, Jimmy Scofield.
So what would have been if you were you were playing like top 40 stuff in the 70s or
60s?
Oh, wow.
I'm old.
Sophisticated. You're sophisticated.
Yeah, mature. Yeah. Mature.
Well seasoned.
Like a bad peach. Anyway.
With age comes wisdom, right?
Exactly.
Wisdom comes your teeth.
Oh, it comes your teeth.
Wisdom teeth. Anyway. You want to keep going with this kind of humor?
No.
We had someone who could do a rim shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's what it. Yeah, I got to pull that out.
We
off.
Have that over here. Yeah. Actually. Yeah, well, I'm not going to do that. It's too corny. Even for me, that's corny. But also, I want to make mention of my friend Romano, who is in a TV show called Taken. And he's
I didn't meet all these fancy actor types and
he's
whatnot.
He's an actor friend of mine. Yeah, and he's down from Canada. I mean, from upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson, north.
Oh, that's upstate,
north
of
Hudson,
yeah.
North of Hudson. And he was in our tourist list. That we were reminiscing about the old days and stuff like that. He's a great guy. And, you know, he was hanging out with Joe Montana and stuff, doing his series and stuff. Anyway, he's in town. Catch that show. It's a good show, really good show, called Taken.
A play.
On NBC.
Oh, a TV show.
It's a series, yeah. All right, so Poughkeepsie. Let's go
Poughkeepsie. Let's talk about Poughkeepsie,
New York.
I think if we talk about Poughkeepsie for an hour, we'd pretty much have it covered.
Just try to spell
it. I love my hometown. I do. Nice work. You're hired.
You love it?
No, I do. Yeah, actually, it's interesting because, well, you know, my father, who's passed away now, but Gasparo, is my grandfather and my grandfather's cousin, Vito. They opened Gasparo's Bakery, which is still there, actually.
Wow.
It's wholesale. Not family-owned anymore, but they have the recipe and... They still sell the bread. Yeah, they make all the breads.
Cool,
yeah,
very cool.
It's very cool. Yeah, so we went in. Actually, went in last autumn on my birthday, and it was like when I was a kid, we used to go there and you know help my dad and stuff. But
go ahead. So you have siblings.
Anyway, so I have a brother. He's in Poughkeepsie. My mom's in Poughkeepsie. Everybody's in Poughkeepsie. I have a few relatives that have moved south, migrated south, but you know my family's still there. And now you know I've been on the road touring. For the better part of the past 7 years, I've been in and out of town and living the gypsy bird life, kind of. But last autumn, I came back and shifting gears to come back to the city and settle my nest here, but living up there still for a while. And having said that, I haven't been sort of planted upstate for such a steady period of time in years. And so I've been really diving into the culture and the music and art up in upstate. And there's just so much of it, you know. So
my cousin's band plays up there all the time. She's called The Difference.
In what town? In Poughkeepsie?
The name of the band is called The Difference.
The Difference?
The Difference.
Like
E-N-T-S.
T-S.
Yeah.
Oh,
and she's there. And she's from, they live in Wabashish Falls. And she's quite talented. Great, great singer. She and her husband and a couple other guys. They
what
this,
club do they play?
Clubs that are in Fishkill and in...
Oh, yeah.
In
Beacon?
Beacon, yeah. And I saw her... A couple of years ago, we had stopped up there on the way back from Ossining, from not Ossining, but from Cold Spring. Mm-hmm. And she was playing in this place by the river where the nuclear plant is up there.
Oh, I don't
There's
know.
There's a club down. It was a club, like a yacht club or whatever.
Nuclear club turned rock.
Yeah,
nuclear
right.
club, nuclear plant turned rock.
She went
club.
Nuclear on me. That's anyway, I can't say that.
We're giving your listeners a nice geographical.
She's a great singer. We should play some of her stuff one time.
Aww.
But. At any rate, she's my cousin's daughter, actually, and she lives up there with her husband. She's got kids up there, and she's just a great talent. She's been around singing for a
while. Nice that you give shout outs to everybody.
Yeah, I do. We do say hello to everybody. We say hi to everybody. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Poughkeepsie, and then
Poughkeepsie.
What happened? Other people in your family musical?
The short answer is no. You know, I have an uncle, Pete. He doesn't play anymore, but he played drums, you know, in a band.
Yeah.
They called Music Box, I think, or something. I don't know, but they were a cover band, too. Maybe they had originals. I don't know. But, yeah, other than that, there wasn't, not in my immediate family, for sure, you know.
Yeah.
My mother is, my mother is, she's Irish, so I got Irish Italian heritage, but she is a great cook, so she makes music with food.
There you go.
So,
boy, and for Italian families, that's all you need. All you need is
she's Italian by default, for sure.
How do you turn that stove on? You know, that's the thing. You know? Great stuff. Well, my grandfather was a chef, and he was the one who cooked in the family. So mm-hmm. we had no money, but we had pasta 7 days a week, mm-hmm. seven different ways.
It was the waiter man's heart. Yeah.
Waiter
man's heart. My heritage goes back to the Lower East Side. That's where we all started.
Are both of your mother and father Italian? Or
my mother was born in Sicily.
Oh, yeah.
My father was born here. But my grandparents on both sides were Sicilian. And my mother came here when she was five. With her father and three brothers, mm-hmm. and the three brothers went to a boarding school in Brooklyn, and my mother went to an orphanage in Queens, and she stayed there until she went to Catholic school and got out, and then went to live with my father's family. I don't want to talk about me anyway, but I'm really proud of that. I'm proud of that because we were in the produce business in New York, and we had so there was food in my life. All my life.
Yeah, of course.
Unloading trucks and ships and all that when I was a kid, you know.
Yeah.
And, all that stuff is history.
It's love. It's emotion, you know, in the Italian culture.
It's your roots, the culture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so good to, you know. And I surround myself with a bunch of Italians now. You know.
But I was going to say.
Speak it again.
I was saying down in LES, like, back in the day, there you got all kinds of different people from all kinds of, like, immigrants, Yeah, LES.
Immigrant experience.
Culture in the Lower
What's
East
LES?
Side.
What's LES?
Lower East Side.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm not saying. Yeah. Please.
You're showing your sophistication now and not knowing what that acronym means.
Bottom line is I hate when people say they live in the East Village because there's no such animal.
No.
Oh, really? Interesting. Really
they'll say that,
East
village.
The village is the village?
The village, that's it. There's only one village.
Over there with the village. Come on.
Yeah. And then you go down the East Side. You're at the Lower East Side. You know you're in Avenue A and B and C and.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah, the Alphabet City.
Yeah.
And so. All right, so now.
All right, come on. Forget about
it. I'm
back
with you. I'm sorry. I do.
You're an improviser, Frank. You can't be stopped.
I know. I guess it. The brushes.
Wait, we got to talk about that. We were going to say, you know, you're known as Frankie Sticks.
Yeah, but I haven't played
But you haven't played Sticks in many years because you play brushes
at
our tournament.
Only brushes.
So I'm thinking Boss Man Brushes.
That's it.
All right.
Frankie Brushes.
Frankie Boss Man Brushes. Yeah.
Well, I've gotten to really like it, and that's actually how I started. And so, you know, I've been doing it now for 15 years. There.
Well, you know, as soulful as our connection is for not having known each other very long, having met through Eric, my friend, who we give a shout out to him and his band.
Great band.
Yeah. So, but he, what was I going to say? I don't know much about you. I don't know about your, like, I mean, you say you play in a top 40 band, but you don't go from top 40 band in the 60s to Arturo's.
No. No, you struggle for 11
Do your
years.
Listeners know what your story is, Frank?
Well, yeah, but I'm not talking about me. All right. This is about you today.
I think we could take this opportunity.
Talk about me. You know?
Hey.
Well, all right, quick.
All right, sorry.
The one paragraph is I grew up, you know, in the city and in the country. That was my best thing because I just had both worlds.
It's nice, right?
My
parents,
my uncles had a business in New York here. And we had a produce business, and I worked unloading trucks and making deliveries and all that good stuff. And then I went every summer. I came to the city, and every winter I went to school in Marlboro and graduated from Marlboro. Okay. And the Falcon is now a club in Marlboro where everybody
goes it's the best, man. They're messing around. They do such a great job there.
John Trope's band is going to play there. I want to go and see him.
It's kind of like there's some places in the city that I would love to give some shout-outs to. the Falcon is one of them upstate that whereby you go any night of the week, whether or not your taste, you know, your taste is not in line with what the music is.
Yeah, but
that's
it's
going on. You're going to have a good experience and it's going to be great music. It doesn't matter what night you go. You
the
know?
Guy, what's his name, Eddie?
Falcon. God. Oh, no.
Sorry. But it's a great place. It's right on 9W, right in town.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's a small town. Town population 5,000, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But when I grew up there, it was even less.
But and, you still didn't explain what where you play musically. Did you study? Like, did you play in big bands or was it jazz?
No. What I did was I did top 40 bands when I was in high school. Uh-huh. Played in Middletown, New York, with the Storm Kings, which was the band of the area. It was a very popular band in those days. And then I got drafted and I went in the Army. When I came out of the Army, I stayed in Jersey, and then I started to stay in New York. And then I started to get turned on by jazz and working. And then my first band when I came out of the Army was John Chopay and Will Lee and me. Mm-hmm. And we did clubs in Jersey. We did that whole circuit, you know. And then and John grew and got himself. And Will became an incredible player and, you know, Letterman show and all that stuff. And so I just played around the top 40 bands down here and kept my cousin Phil. We were in a band together and we had. Used to play the Swiss Chalet and, you know, in New Jersey. And I played all those clubs, the Ramada Inns and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and I did all that stuff. And then, you know, I got, I was living in New York. I got married. I moved to Jersey. Then I got divorced. I moved back to New York. And I got married again. I moved back to Jersey. Got divorced. Moved back to New York. I'm staying here now. That's it. Nobody is going to drag me.
It's
to
like
Jersey.
A math back and forth.
Nobody's going to make me go to Jersey. So Tony, if you're listening, I
so
love
in
you,
each divorce, you got the city as a part of the settlement.
The city was the settlement. You got it. And so I wound up. Pat O'Leary,
the bass player.
I had a date with a woman I was dating for a long time, and she said, "I want to take you to hear a band." And I said. For my birthday, and I said, sure. So we went to my favorite hotel, which is the Algonquin, where the Algonquin is.
Sure.
In the hotel,
Carlo?
No, it's on 46th Street. The Algonquin.
Hotel. Oh, the hotel. Algonquin.
Yeah, thank you. And Pat was playing there with Stacy Kent. And so... The band came out, and Debbie and I are sitting there, and I said, geez, there's Pat. And she goes, is there anybody you don't know? So Pat came out, and he said, why don't you come down to Arturo's and sit in with us? And that's how it
that's
started.
How you started. That's how long have you been playing there at Arturo's?
15 years.
Come on, over there.
And I moved to the village. I stayed in the village.
Wonderful.
You know, that's right, man.
It's always a good time.
Enough about me.
Enough about you.
Please.
Frank, God.
I mean, I'm looking at she's so beautiful, lady. You can't see her, but she's so beautiful. You could do a haiku in your face. Anyway, but she's beautiful and she's talented. We're going to listen to some of her stuff tonight for sure. And so what happened?
What happened?
Where were we?
Good question. No, I didn't. Right. I didn't just leave. Well, actually, so we, I always refer to it as kind of a cliche move because I don't know if that's really the case. But when we was 13, when we moved to Florida, we used to go vacation every summer. My parents, they liked the lifestyle down there, and so for this and the other reason, we moved down there. And I went to high school down there. And what was I mean, but the truth is that even as a teenager, when it was spring break, I would come up to the city. I was honest to God.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because I lived in Marlboro, and in summertime, I was down here.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's always been my home. And so, you know, did that. And then when I started college, actually, when I started college, it was in Florida, at Florida State University. And I was a dance major, actually. Mm. But I always sang my whole life. And when I was at Florida State studying dance, I took private voice lessons. And that's where a good friend of mine identified that I would probably really like taking some jazz vocal classes. So I did that.
Good.
And that's kind of got my, you know, lit my fire stylistically.
Good.
And
were you doing your own songs?
No, I didn't write my first song. I'm older than I look, everyone. If I could be so...
Don't try to adjust your sets, folks.
Arrogant.
You and me both.
Don't adjust your sets.
I didn't write my first song until 1996. Okay. And so I started. So, you know, I still have friends to this day, some of them whom I'm still playing with and making great music with, but that I started out singing standards with down in Florida. Actually, one of them, my first true sort of mentor was Marcus Printup. He plays in Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra and is a trumpet player. Mm-hmm. And he's been a friend of mine for, oh, God, 35, 33? I'd have to do the math. But anyway, long time.
Long time.
We're very sophisticated friends. And anyway, so he, and then Lindsay Sargent, he was the guy who, I think he's still maybe the director, I don't know, of FAMU, which is where Marcus Roberts studied, and he was a student of Lindsay Sargent. So I just picked up the phone one day and called Lindsay Sargent. This is when I was like, you know, 19, something like that, and 20, and I went and met with him, and he saw something. I mean, I really sucked back then, Frank. People tell me, no, you didn't suck. I mean, but I
it's okay.
You know, when you grow and you evolve and you look back in hindsight, yeah. You know, I even then I just I technically agree. It was, I had something, but I needed a lot of years to go by in coming back up to New York to really get inside of it. You know what I mean? But I stuck with it, and I had people along the way that really technically, even vocally, knew that I could really explore and expand, you know? So I stuck with it. I really connected with standards, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was a first benchmark of, 'cause I did like music theater and I like danced and sang, you know, 'cause I was a dancer. And, But I really, what I loved about it was the presence and the exploration of it and the soul, like the connectivity of playing with musicians who were super present and dealing with what was going on in the moment, you know?
Don't you love it? I mean, I love it. I mean, the idea of connecting with somebody without speaking to them, to me, is like the ultimate. Right. If I could sit, and you've heard me with the trio, we don't talk, it just happens.
It just happens.
And when you can do that with a band, and you'll sync with the band. That's a great
It's feeling. Magic. Yeah. And that's what transmits to people. And, you know, I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, we're meeting at the juncture where I actually, you know, I now, because I've been accompanying myself and growing, playing piano as I sing, I'm starting to slip in the standards, which is funny because I stopped singing them after a while because I had my own material and I was really focused on that. But what people resonate with in my experience and touring around and talking with people and who are in the audience, you know, and they it's like this interesting balance of being like lifted out of the moment and sort of taken to this like place that you can't, that's an intangible, has this intangible like vibration to it, you know, that's what music does. But then also if you're dealing with lyrics, you know, especially it grounds you more deeper into the reality of life, you know? So it's like this awesome juxtaposition of, can I say that fancy word? of states of being, you know? So even with jazz though, I think people, you know, we're all like present pulsing beings, you know what I mean? And whether or not our minds are realizing it, we really just want to be where we are, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's what music does, I think. Yeah.
Because the thing, which you know, when you connect with an audience, I mean, there's nothing better. I mean, I sit and I play. I don't sing. I do sing, but I don't sing. Rarely I sing. But the bottom line is, when I'm playing, people pick up on the mood, the happiness they see.
Yeah.
Because I'm really happy when I'm playing.
Right.
And people go, hey, you know, you look like what you're doing. And they lock into that. Mm-hmm. And it means a lot
it really does.
To them.
Absolutely, Frank. And it's a beautiful thing you're touching on because I think a lot, you know, I write poetry, you know, and I'm a writer.
Yeah.
I'm not a visual artist, but I have a lot of graphic sensibility. But people who are like visual artists, they don't, unfortunately, get that experience that you do when you're making music. It's in motion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even, you know, it's especially if you're playing in intimate spaces, which I prefer, you know what I mean? You're really in the energy connection with people, and you're in motion, you know, and it's just so special. It's like all happening right there. And it's not like something that you make and then you give. I mean, recordings, of course, you know, different story,
but the stuff you get from an audience in a club, intimate situation.
I just said this last night to the audience. I say it to every audience I perform for because I don't take it for granted that they are part of the music. It's not, it's not just enough to be, well, it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing to just have your music received.
Right.
But when it's enhanced by an audience.
Right.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like an audience enriches it. Actually, the energy of the audience enriches the music.
And you pick you up know? On that.
Yeah.
And you excel because you're reaching out to them and they know it and you see it and it's amplified. It feels great. I just have a great time with it. I do.
Yeah,
I have a great time with people when I'm playing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not the loud talkers at table four, but, you know, the bottom line is with most people. And then they respond by tipping the band. That's where you know they're listening. They get up. They walk over. They thank you. They tip. You know, it's nice. Not the money so much, but the, you know. The
connectivity. Report. Well, I've had the fortune of, you know, I've played a lot of house concerts. I made that sort of a focus when I was touring around the country. Mm. I did a lot of great venues.
Now, did you book yourself? You book yourself? On
yeah,
your
yeah.
Really?
She says, sighing. Yes. I mean, that's and a I lot don't. Of work, and I have you? I have an almost infinite number of friends that are performing songwriters. It feels like, and so many of them do more than me, Frank. Mm. You know, like I mean, I have. You know, tons of independent artist friends who still are doing it themselves, don't have representation, and they have more gusto surrounding that than I do. And so I just, my hat goes off to them because, I, you know, I do well, but it's so much work.
Do you have an agent that books you around?
No.
You just do it all yourself.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Wow.
I can't even imagine doing it as much as I do, let alone doing more. And I have so many friends that, but a lot of times they have, if they're in a band, they have some support doing and everything. But to do it on your own it's an endeavor for sure.
So do you prefer to play with the piano, just singing to the...
No, know? I prefer... Well, that's what's interesting, because I... at these shows at Cafe Vivaldi have been since December, and now in April and May, I'm playing with one or two people here and there. It was just economy that I toured around by myself, you know? That's it, period. But the gift of it, the jewel in the box, is that I grew... I'm still a young piano player. Let's not kid ourselves. Yeah. But I grew musically. Like now I really want to take piano lessons and get really serious about it because I know that I have a natural talent for it. But I think if I took some lessons and.
You have anybody in mind?
No, I have some friends who've mentioned people here and there. I got to get the bread.
I have some suggestions for
it. I love it. Yep. Okay, good.
We'll talk about
it. Yeah,
so
cool.
You're self-taught like me, right?
Self-taught piano. Yep, yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
So.
For the record, I play guitar and piano too. So,
you have to come down.
Yeah, self-taught. But I'm from the punk rock where you teach yourself. So I'm punk rock era. So.
He plays to people with hair.
Yeah.
Can we listen to something that she's done?
All right. Can you pull up there?
Well, we got a whole list of stuff here. We have the Bird Song album.
From the record Bird Song there? That's
we have
my last
the whole...
record. So,
okay. Do you have a favorite or do you want something? You want?
Well, the title, I mean, I'm really proud of that record. I guess there's two options. Are we going to get to play more than one song or just one?
Yeah.
All right. So then we'll start with the title track, Bird Song.
34 minutes.
We'll give them the back. We'll make them wait for the backbeat.
No. Oh, okay, yeah.
But Birdsong.
What's the hit single, I guess, the number one hit?
Well, the hit single is Thank You for Breaking My Heart.
Ah, okay. Yes.
But Birdsong, the title track, it's a signature song for me.
Okay, you want to play that?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Play Birdsong.
Check it out.
It's a jazz waltz kind of a vibe, too, so it'll be a little bit of a...
Set free, sweet melody, be it high or low, and trees stand tall through it all. Colors come and go. Song cannot resist the refrain. The closer you get to the bird song, the further you get from the pain. Clouds will fly. resist the refrain. The closer you get to the bird song, the further you get from the pain. Can you imagine the ocean resisting the nightly embrace of the moon? Or if the bluebird couldn't decide the sun sets with no regrets, leaves the world behind, and stars spot silent in the dark, calling heart and mind.
It's crazy.
It's awesome.
Your personality, you're amazing.
Well, aw, well,
no, I'm serious.
I know. Well, this is what the tapestry of life is all about, right? I mean, through the
time and place for everything.
There is, Frankie. Let me tell you something, honestly. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we know, because I know. First of all, I want to publicly apologize for not having you on and putting you off for 2 weeks.
No.
But things were crazy.
Something will be illuminated as to why tonight was the night. Outside of the fact that it's just awesome to be here with you.
Yeah. Well, let's talk
there's
about
that.
Your show. There's that. When are you doing
okay,
your next...
Okay, so this is what's really special about... Well, let's say... Actually, this is probably the reason right here. Bam!
Go ahead.
Because...
She's at no loss for words, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll go with that. Welcome to Bam. No.
Bam.
So what's really synchronistic is that last night was the first Tuesday of 2 months of weekly shows that I'm performing at Cafe Vivaldi in the West Village. The westerly side of the village.
No, the West Village is okay.
The West
cool.
Village is okay.
The East Village does not make it.
No.
So Cafe Vivaldi, it's on Jones Street between Bleecker and West 4th.
Oh yeah,
I've always passed by there too, and I never got. Right? I've never gone inside.
Well, I'm gonna be your reason.
It's okay, yeah, it should be
a small place. I mean,
have a piano there.
I have an amazing piano there. That's why I like playing there. I mean, there's a lot of reasons I like playing there, but for where I'm at in my narrative as a performing songwriter, audience wise, it can fill up. It's a full room for me. Sometimes more than others, but I have a very realistic like understanding of where I'm at. So like I'm not at Joe's Pub yet, you know.
Yeah.
I aspire to that though at this point. I'm starting, you know, going on the road last year, I realized, you know, I feel poised to really kind of try to jack it up a notch. But Vivaldi I've played at, we were just talking about this last night, definitely for 17 years.
Really?
Yeah. And,
wow.
And he's had the place for, I think, 34 years, 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
And what I love about it, too, is it's this tucked off of Bleecker. That's why I don't really play there on the weekends, because I don't love that area on the Friday, Saturday nights, you know. It's just a little too much of a carnival. Yeah, so I like playing the weeknights. So there's pros and cons, but it's just off around the corner from Bleecker. So you get a lot. Like just last night, honest to God, I remember them very specifically. There was a couple from Georgia, this four people from South Carolina, this, a woman from Israel. They just happen in. Yes, exactly.
That's what happens at Arturo's.
Exactly.
All over the world walk in that place.
And in fact, I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Julie. I'm sure she'll tune into this when I, you know, link to it on my site. But I met her there. We realized it was 2001 because it was the year of the attack. So we remembered that year. She just happened into Vivaldi, and we've become very good friends over the years. And that's how we met.
That's so
nice. I know. I've had a bunch of friends like that, actually. I used to play at a place called Java and Jazz near NYU. They've closed.
Do you know Gabrielle Stravelli?
Is that Gabrielle who Eric plays with? I just know her first name. Yeah, she's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, she. I think she's played there with Pat.
At Vivaldi?
At Vivaldi. I think so. I'm not sure, but
probably. But anyway, it's it's just really relaxed. It's like the people that run it are super like heartfelt. You know,
like
there's no bullshit. It's just down to earth. You know, and
it's a perfect place.
It's a perfect place for me. I can still use my potty mouth. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Fear not. And I do. I like to think it's an artful approach to using profanity.
Really? I'm old-fashioned, I guess. I'm too old-fashioned. I guess my new granddaughter, I'm like trying to keep my mouth clean.
Depends on who's saying it too, right?
Intention is everything.
When it's said.
Or when it's said, yeah.
I mean, if it's a really cool... Never mind.
Okay, but anyway, so all right. So I've been playing there over the years, kind of coming and going, doing my thing in general as a gypsy bard and touring around. In December, because once I came off the road last summer and realized I was ready to be back in New York and settling my nest, I played four Tuesdays in December, and they were great. They went so well and really great turnout, and I played with different musicians, and they just – it was such a success on all the levels. So they said, you know, anything you want to do, we'd be happy to support it. So I said, well, this is kind of a big idea, but how about every Tuesday in April and May, like a spring series? And they were like, okay, sure.
What time do you start?
So this is what's heavy, man. I play two sets. For me, it's heavy because it's like, wow, I've come a long way. Two sets from 7:30 to 9:30 every Tuesday in April and May.
That's great.
It's so touching.
Now let's tell people where we can buy your stuff. Your website is?
Well, just DanielleGasparo.com.
Okay.
Yeah. D-A-N-I-E-L-L.
And your stuff is available on...
I always spell it for people. iTunes. Yeah.
iTunes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I did my Record Bird song that we played something off of.
Where'd you record it?
I recorded it at a studio right around here. I think they moved, but it's called Dubway. They used to be on 27th, I think.
Right in the neighborhood.
They've grown. They do a lot of stuff. They're a great studio.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, but those records, all four of the records I've done in New York with different incarnations were essentially in the studio, like one take, like the bands, just one take, no punching and stuff like that.
Used to call it live to two-track.
Live to two-track, yeah. So that's live to Pro Tools.
Pro Tools, yeah. Or Logic. Yeah.
Well, there was a studio up above the Steinway showroom on 57th Street that I did some recordings years ago.
Wow.
That was fun.
Huh.
And I've forgotten the name of it. I'm sorry. It's not there anymore anyway, I don't think. But and the guy who ran it just passed away, which is really sad because he really loved music. He was really a good guy.
Yeah.
And he could tell you when you were in and when you were out. You know, it was good, really good stuff.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
No, you cannot.
Oh, no, I cannot. No.
Go ahead. Go to the bathroom.
Ooh, ooh, me. Ooh, I know. Yeah.
I know.
Wait, me or Frankie?
Yeah, no. I was going to ask, what are some of your favorite places to play in New York? I don't know if you've played at a wide range of different places in New York.
Well, I used to. Now I just play Vivaldi for the moment because I want to be in one spot. It's like very... purposeful what I'm doing, you know. I used to play at Rockwood Music Hall, which is great,
Rockwood.
Yeah. I played there. I actually played there.
You did? Frankie
there,
over there.
No, really,
what'd you do?
Well, because I have a friend of mine who's a rabbi, and he's got a band, and I'm in it. And he does all of these tunes. We do the Jewish holidays, Bitter End,
like Klezmer,
the Bitter End, and we do and he also did an album which was not related to religion, and we did the tunes from there at Rockwood.
Oh, very cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're good. They do a great job there.
And they like you. You know, it's like you go.
I want to play there. Yeah, yeah, it's great. I really want to play.
The owner, cool. He's a musician. You know, real good sensibility. So they built that out into kind of an empire. But they keep.
They got three different rooms.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. But they really care about the musicians. I think so.
That's
one. And then Bitter End, I played a couple. February, I had a really great opportunity and did that. I hadn't played there in like 18. I played there like 17. I used to play there. I used to play there a lot.
Bitter End.
Evan there.
Evan.
Sound guy? Evan?
I didn't meet him, no. It was a different guy.
Yeah.
It was a great show. I mean, it was a great show. The piano, it's funny because now, like the piano at Vivaldi, I've got a thing with, you know, and
I thought the piano
like
at the Bitter End was pretty cool.
Can I be honest? Because it's I don't want to, I don't want to be like bashing the Bitter End's piano because they're an amazing venue. No, they're an amazing venue.
Oh, yeah.
I just think for me, the way that I play, it just wasn't, I didn't get in, couldn't get inside of it, you know, which is cool, man. It's like, I love it, you know, I mean, it's like buckle up and play the piano, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's a great venue. I really want to be clear about that. But I thought that was interesting, you know what I mean? Because I care, I guess. I want to, you know, I talked about this with my friend the other day. It's interesting because When you're performing and making music in a club, wherever, whatever the room is, anywhere, whatever you're doing, you want to have fun.
Right.
And a lot goes into that, maximizing that experience for you as the performer, you know? And so
if you're having fun, the audience is having fun.
Yeah.
Very simple.
So on a technical level, there's some things that can come together. I mean, if you're going to be a pro, which I like to think I am, you know,
of course,
you just make everything work, and there's always going to be like a flat line of fun. You know what I mean? There's going to be like a thread of fun no matter where you are.
You make it. You make it.
Yeah.
But when no matter what happens.
Yeah. But when it's a special event, you know, it's like people have made the choice to come out, and it's a big promoted event. You know, it's like you want to really make it worth your while too. And it sounds so selfish in a way, but it's like, so for me, you know, it was interesting. I didn't really enjoy playing that piano.
So you're looking probably for other rooms in the city where you can do your stuff, what you like to do.
Yeah I have my, like, Le Poisson Rouge would probably be a good room.
Le Poisson Rouge, yeah.
I need to continue to just expose my music to the bigger audience and grow the audience. I mean, I have a good following in New York, but it's not, the numbers aren't there, so to speak. You know, it becomes a numbers game when you're talking about those venues. Understandably, you know, I guess.
It's going to happen because you have that vibe.
Thank you.
No, you really.
Thank you, Frankie.
You have such a, no, I'm serious. You have a very, very wonderful way about you that warms people. And then you bring people in when you do that. It'll happen.
It means a lot to me.
I really mean it. It really happens.
Well, you know, I don't like, you know, shine the light on myself, but someone said that to me last night and it was very moving. I mean, I get that a lot. So it's a matter of my journey and my intention meeting up with other people thinking that. And I think at this point I'm starting to feel that myself where I haven't have it in the past.
Maybe, and you work with different people, and that's always an education, you know.
Yeah.
You work with different bass players.
Yeah. Oh, and the best
drummers, you know.
I mean, I rise to the occasion of my highest self. Because it was the best advice, Lindsay Sargent, who I was talking about before. It was such simple advice, but he said, surround yourself with the best musicians.
What bass players have you worked with?
Well, Danton Bowler, who I just played with last night, he's an upright, he plays electric too, but he's just extraordinary.
Are you looking for that upright sound? Or is electric okay for you?
I mean, in terms of like my next band that I'm putting together, it's upright,
It's just
always
warmer.
Been up. I did one record with an
electric
bass. Which is an EP, but
There's some people I work with that are tremendous.
I'm
serious, when you want to do
something. I have the guys the gals and guys, let's go there. Let's give a shout out to the heroines of music, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Actually, last night at Vivaldi, another great thing about Vivaldi is like people kind of stay and there's always like an acoustic trio that plays at the later set, and there was a woman on the bass. I forget her name, but she was really good.
Jennifer Vincent.
No. But it's just not that common that you see women upright bass players, you know. But
I know a lot of them, actually.
Oh, really?
No, they do. Goody. Yeah, they play with us at our tours. They come in, they sit in with us.
That's nice to hear.
It's always, the thing about Arturo's that's really wonderful is that if you know the guys in the band, even if you don't, and you want to come in and sit in, we let you sit in. And it's just, you know, meeting new people and, you know, perhaps
having that open heart,
finding another backup to play if you know, because Pat's on the road a lot. And, you know, piano players. I work with five of the greatest piano players in the city. I mean, it's just how it worked out. Well, you know, the story, it was Harry Whitaker, who was...
Yeah, I used to hear him.
The genius, you know, died. And Pat, we couldn't find one guy to play five nights. So Pat went out and found five guys. So every night that I'm there, I play with a different guy.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's great because it's a different approach, a different feel. It's a different thing that happens, you know.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word, a different aroma that happens with the music.
Wow.
And I just love playing with them. They just... I learned so much, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, Frankie. I was going to ask. Have you? One name comes to mind when I think of like great jazz pianists in the city. Johnny O'Neill.
Oh, I know Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny O'Neill. Yeah, it's another.
I play
like,
with Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny likes me.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't play together.
Uh huh.
When I sit in with him, he's always got a nice thing to say. I do one of the things that I guess I should say. A lot of guys do, but I swing. And a lot of cats like the way I swing, so
I
play with them, you know.
Yeah, you got
it. Yeah.
Johnny O'Neill's great.
Oh, he's great, great,
he's
great.
Great, great.
He plays with a friend of mine now. So,
who's that?
Her name is Darylin. Yeah.
Darylin?
Darylin McAdams, yeah. She's a great jazz singer. I don't know, maybe I'll introduce you to her one day. So,
you know, he was in Ray.
Yeah. He was in Ray. Yeah.
They put a bubble suit on him. he was Fats Waller. You know?
Yeah.
Oh.
In the movie.
Oh, I see. In the movie.
Yeah. Huh. He's just a great guy. Mm-hmm. He plays at Smalls a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Mesro, I think, once in a while.
All right.
Those clubs are still going strong. Yeah, I know.
You know, that's years ago, I don't know how far back you go here, but there was a place on University called Bradley's.
Visioni? Oh, Bradley's.
Which was Jimmy Rolls.
That was before, a little bit before me, but yeah.
Yeah,
I
probably
know.
Younger,
yeah.
But for me, it was my time, you know.
Huh.
Let's play something else here.
Come on.
All right.
Play another. Let's hear something.
All right. So you want to play that. Well, the people really resonate with this song. It's called Thank You for Breaking My Heart.
Okay, let's play that.
Okay.
All right. Check it out.
That's what you're going to do.
Thank you for breaking my heart. I know. I'm sure that it sounds crazy, but my heart's kind of lazy, so thank you for breaking my heart. It's been a long time since I felt so sad, since I got so mad, never thought I would again, but you gave your so I know that you ain't teasing. You're here for me in my time of need. Please don't misunderstand. I don't want the upper hand. But there's a high road that I'm gonna take it. Thank you for breaking my heart. I know. Sure that it sounds crazy, but my heart's kind of amazing, so thank you for breaking my heart. I can't believe I missed the boat again. I hit that same dead end when my eyes were open wide, but a blind girl can't take a closer look when you got her sick. So you kind of threw me back to find my way. Please don't you waste your time in between all the lines. 'Cause my words are gold. Can you hear what I'm saying? Thank you for breaking my heart. I know the end is a start. Sure that it sounds crazy, but my heart's kind of lazy, so
for breaking my heart. The closer that you can get to yourself, the closer that you can get to someone else. It's no wonder that we're so far apart.
Soulful than that?
No.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. You have to.
You're
going to
break
Orleans.
My heart. I know some people in Poughkeepsie over here. Yeah, yeah. You better watch out.
Hey. Yeah.
You know my doctor, Vinny Boombatz? You know, you know Vinny Boombatz? You know? Yeah, in his office the other day, he had 5 cases of VD. He's okay now, but. I love Rodney Dangerfield. I just saw a clip of him today.
He's hysterical, yeah.
He was.
I remember one. Why do I remember a Rodney Dangerfield joke? But I remember him. What did he say? It's like, my wife and I, we were happy for 35 years. Then we met.
Yeah, right. My wife and I, you know, he says, you know, we made a pact about we don't have, we have sex. We're going to have sex after we stop smoking. I got the same pact since 1975. She's on a third, she's on a third pack this week. Anyway, Dangerfield. God love him. He's a great guy. It's funny.
I was going to say, Danielle, your voice is, you got kind of a rock and roll voice. A little bit of a rock and roll voice. Yeah. I hear a little like,
the rock stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
thank
you could definitely.
You. You
got
I guess.
Stuff going on, man. Yeah. We got to get more of you out there.
It's thank pretty cool. You.
Get in touch with this lovely lady. Buy her album. Her album. Yes. Buy it.
Albium.
Well, come out. If you're in New York, too, come out to the shows.
Danielle Gasparro.
Yep. I miss physical music. Like, growing up, you know, it was such a big thing. I love collecting records and CDs and tapes. And, you know, it's become kind of a lost thing. Like, it's still out there, but back then it was a whole, you know. It was
of live recordings, you mean?
I grew up, on, believe it or not, on 45s.
Oh, yeah.
And mostly all Glenn Miller stuff.
Wow.
And, they were four, and then 78s. Yeah. And then
78s, wow.
A-side and B-side.
Yeah.
And then there were 2 cuts on one side of the 45 in those days.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And I listened to Big Spider Beck, and I listened to Benny Goodman, and I listened to Harry James. I listened to all that stuff. My favorite band, hands down, in that era was Louis Prima.
Louis Prima,
Kenny Smith, that's it. They were the best lounge act ever in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And everybody used to go see them because they used to play till like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Did you live in Vegas?
No.
Oh, okay.
I only wish
I'm
I
just
did.
I did once for 9
everywhere
months.
I go.
This is a funny thing. I never wrote a song or a poem about it, but I moved to Vegas for love. What is that shit? Well, it's true, though.
You moved to Vegas. Did you see
it was this guy.
You saw that on a bottle, oh. A prescription bottle? What did you see?
Actually, check it out. That guy who, the man, Don, he was an incredible drummer. I met him. He went to North Texas. Great drummer. Anyway, he was the first great true love of my life and the first heartache of my life. And so I wrote my first song out of that loss of that relationship. So again, you know, but anyway, so he, of all places, he happened to be from Las Vegas. So in the ins and outs of our being involved, there was a chapter where I moved there and 9 months, the exact amount of time to birth my hatred for living in Las Vegas.
And so on the ninth month, she gave birth to hatred of Las
Vegas.
Hatred
of living in Las Vegas. No, I didn't like it really at all. But, you know, what is it? The things we do for love, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, boy, do I have a list of those things. I don't have enough time tonight to talk about it. But I want to tell you, I want to have you back. Can you
I'd love
back?
To come back. Are you kidding me? Again, I know. We've only tapped the surface.
Yeah, we just touched a little bit of it. But
I only swore twice.
That's because usually I don't swear on the program.
We keep going. Yeah, we keep
going. Don't let my introspective
out the ass. But no,
well, you know,
I was going to have fun with you tonight.
It's interesting too because people. Well, people, like, you know, they. Because it feels weird for me because humor is a big part of my personality.
Of course.
But my music is not, I don't write in a very, like, I'm not like a satirical writer. I don't
You're
write
not
wit.
Not writing tunes like short.
<I don't know>. No. Yeah, no, wit is not my thing in my writing. It's poetic, you know what I mean? Yeah, but but people seem to appreciate that. So it's I try to remember that I get a lot of feedback that people like that, you know, the leverage of when I'm speaking and being the artist, my personality is humorous, but the music is not. So,
well, Dean Martin is my idol, and Dean was more funny than Jerry, in my opinion. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, it's my age. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis were a comedy team in the 40s. Anyway, but the bottom line is Dean is just a funny guy. He's just, when he sings, he's funny. You know, if you want to hear the serious song, you got to buy the album. Mm. You know, he'd say things like, or he'd say, "Oh, excuse me, I got enough gas to get me to Pittsburgh."
Oh, you mean like when he was talking to the audience? He was a comedian.
Yeah. I didn't ask you to come in here, folks. You know, stuff like that. You know, and he would stand up, and the band would be vamping, and he'd go, "How long have I been on?" You know, and he's just a great, funny man.
Yep. You know? He'll be 100. He would have been 100 years old, I think, next month. Right, Dean Martin.
Dean Martin. It wasn't his birthday when in December. Yeah. No. Frank's birthday is December.
Yeah, Frank's birthday is December.
I wonder point we start. Like, or do we ever say like this person would have been 1,000 years old? We don't really do that.
Right. Yeah.
We
no.
Give some props to people who have been dead for Jesus. Like 5,000 years. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Mozart, Beethoven. I think they're still counting them, right?
Not,
yeah.
Hashtag Mozart's birthday. You know
Mozart,
what I mean?
Right?
No one gives a shit.
Still counting them.
In the Upper West Side.
What?
Mozart.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
There was a club up there years ago, yeah. Anyway, listen, how much time
is it
we got?
Already time to go?
I think we're pretty much done by now. Yes.
I want to thank you so much. Oh, this has been so much fun.
It has been.
And
you're going to
and you gotta come back.
I'm so coming back. I'm coming back.
Come back anyway.
Whenever. Like, I'm just going to come back, even when you don't.
I want you to come back.
Come on back.
Matter of fact, come back tomorrow night. I'll be here, but we'll have no show.
We have no show. Bada bang.
No, but I want to thank you
thank
so
you,
much
Frankie,
for coming.
Thank you for having me. I'm so touched. I really appreciate it. And I don't take these, like, synchronistic things for granted, so.
Good. Yeah. We just got to make mention of Jill's show, which is going to be at Joe's Pub.
May 21st.
Jill Hennessy, great talent, good friend. She's a lot of fun, and she's a very talented singer.
Very cool.
And she does writes her own stuff.
Oh, great. Yeah. Oh, cool.
And she and her sister started in Canada. They're from Canada, singing in the street and stuff. And now she's, you know, a star and everything. But anyway, go catch her show May 21st.
Yes.
You're so great.
Joe's Pub. And you.
And then every Tuesday at Cafe Vivaldi.
Cafe Vivaldi.
In April and May.
On
Jones Street. 32 Jones Street. 32, which is my age. How interesting.
Well, you're right on here, man. I want to tell you.
Hey, you're my generation. Hey, you talking?
It's my age backwards. No.
No, that's
23.
If, so 20.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, right. All right. She was playing there 12 years ago. She was still 32. Anyway. We want to thank you for coming.
I'm so grateful for the opportunity.
I want to thank Preston for being here tonight.
Frankie.
And I want to thank all of you, my listeners out there. Thank you for having fun. That's the main thing. Find what you love and do it, because you're not going to be happy unless you do,
right,
even
on,
if it's
Frankie.
For a day.
All right.
Well said. I'm with you, man.
Right. Yep.
I'm with you, man.
So we're gonna go have fun
now.
Have
some fun.
All right. You guys can be jealous.
To be continued.
To be continued.
All right.
Good night, everybody. Thanks
Ciao.
For listening. Ciao, Bella.
Hi, I'm Danny Aiello. You may know me as an actor, but one of the things that I'm most proud of is my service to this country. In the Army, I saw firsthand how training and discipline instill the values that create great leadership abilities and a can-do spirit. Those same strong values stay with service members when they return to civilian life and enter the workplace. So, remember to hire smart and bet on a vet. To learn more, call 888-44-SALUTE.